Welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Play Freebird!
Yeah.
That intro was rocking, man.
Yeah, the similar chords, too.
Yeah,
yeah, you're back for the first time in a while.
Yes, welcome back.
Yeah. We got the 12 string going now.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was impressive.
Twice as many strings.
Well, and I'll tell you what, after the surgery, penis is 12 inches. So we are there. I have hit the mark.
I gotta say, you can't even tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks tremendous.
You clicked on that email and it won the spam.
The sad part is that it doesn't grow anymore. Yeah. I just show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've kind of lost a little bit
of it. Well, and the middle piece is a darker color.
Yeah.
Because of where they took it from. From the taint.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So it's like a Neapolitan ice cream bar. It's like one of those things.
I know.
Like everybody likes the middle the best.
Exactly what I was thinking.
So now I gotta bleach my penis.
Yeah,
it's like that was fun.
That's the next email, spam email you got to open.
Yeah,
that's our next sponsor. It's brought to you by ads on porn sites.
Yeah,
it's like bleach your penis, but all the E's are threes.
Ooh,
yeah, that's how you're gonna get through the censors.
Exactly. So anyway, on this episode, we are going to talk about The Legend of Vox Machina, which is. Debuted on Amazon last Thursday. Is that right?
Friday.
Last Friday.
Yeah. It was Friday. That's right.
Based on the YouTube phenomenon Critical Role, which features very talented voice actors playing D&D. I'm giving the layman's description. Travis is the expert and devoted fan.
No, I mean, we need to dumb it down. Otherwise, I'll talk too much.
Yes. And so that gathered quite the following. They put together, I believe it was a Kickstarter campaign to... do these animated episodes for Amazon, set a record, which was previously set by one of my favorite shows, MST3K.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Broke that record. And as a result, we have these very well-produced episodes, which serve as both prologue and kind of a recap of the campaigns that are featured on YouTube.
Yeah, they got they asked for $750,000 to do a 22-minute special, and they made that in 40 minutes. And so they ended up making $11.2 million or something after 45 days on Kickstarter.
That's some cheese.
And at the time, it was the biggest Kickstarter or most successful one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's already been busted.
Yeah. That was kind of like MST3K, where they were looking for $2 million, I think, to do a brief run of episodes. And they ended up making, I think, 10 plus. So kind of similar. We're a very dedicated fan base that kicked it into high gear, and they produced a whole season of MST3K, which I guess is similar.
Amazon Prime, after they got their, exorbitant amount of money to do this, they were like, yeah, we can do a whole season. And Amazon Prime was like, oh, fuck it. Do it on our platform, and we'll give you a second season.
Yeah.
And they were like, cool.
Yeah.
Can do.
Two for one.
Yeah.
So basically, this animated series features the characters that they rolled in Critical Role. But basically fleshes them out into animated characters in a self-contained, story within these episodes.
Yeah, so it basically each one of the players created and crafted their own character and all their backstory and everything. And the Dungeon Master is kind of the referee that tells them how good or badly it goes. And he plays any other character that they interact with that's not, a member of their team. And so it's basically just kind of just improv. It's interesting how they went about it and how it actually became a series. So I'm interested in seeing what you guys thought about it, because I loved it.
Yeah. And before we get to that, it's like preface. It's like Travis is a D&D lifelong player. I'm a noob too. I'm a nerd big time. I'll play World of Warcraft and a lot of nerdy stuff. I've never played D&D. Tay is a total noob when it comes to such things.
Yeah,
Tay's watched the extended Lord of the Rings, though.
That's true.
That puts me somewhere.
He's halfway dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's like the Holiday Inn Express of nerdery.
Yeah.
Stayed there before.
That is true.
I know enough to get the jokes.
Yeah.
Like on D&D subreddits, but that's about it.
Same. So just to preface everything we're saying with that, to make sure everybody knows where we are fan-wise whenever we offer our opinions. But I would be curious to start with Travis's Reader's Digest opinion. What did you think? And then we'll go to the lay people.
All right. So we will do spoilers in this. And there's, it's definitely a more adult oriented cartoon. There's
nutsack.
There's nudity, violence, there's cursing. My only problem with these first three episodes is the beginning seemed like they were trying really hard. They were like very excited to be able to cuss and they wanted to let you know that. And I was like, oh man, okay, I hope the whole thing isn't quite like this. And maybe I just got used to it a little while in, but I thought episodes 2 and 3 were great. They were just, you know, really trying to get the ball rolling. So basically the first 2 episodes took place when they had their home game before they ever started streaming on Twitch. And it's not until you get to episode 3 that they are into part of the campaign that I watched. And that was already like episode 20 something, because they had like another player with them that started out that for whatever reason didn't mesh well with the group, and there was some crazy drama, and they had to 86
him. Got to go.
So I don't know if they are just
totally did with Taylor
rolling the whole 20 something episodes.
My PB got bigger.
Yeah, get 6 inches and then come back.
Yeah.
So 2 and 3 I loved. The beginning of 1 got a little iffy for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was confused. I think I even texted Travis. I was like, I wasn't quite sure what was going on, because I didn't know if this was like, hey, is this like a new campaign? Because you just said spoilers. I'm like, but is there a spoiler if you've already seen it? And it was like, so I just
you'd only watched the first episode, so I just wanted to ask you about 3.
It's like, so I mean, I was just so confused at the first episode. I was like, what is happening? I was texting him. I was like, so this little traveling elf minstrel is just mooching on some girl's cooter? And I was just like, I mean,
he's in the home.
Yeah. And I was like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. And looking back on it now that I've watched the other 2 episodes, I do agree with what you just said. I think that first episode, they were just like, we're going to do everything that we can do and we want to do. And then the second episode was a little bit better. I did like the dragon fight. And then the episode 3 kind of slowed down, I think, from what the first 2 were. But it was kind of eye-opening. I'm going to keep watching. This might be a slow burn for me, but like, I'm also kind of just so intrigued by the fact that I know these guys are professional voice actors, but just like out of nowhere, I mean, not out of nowhere, they had a great Twitch following, but they're just like, we raised $11 million and now we are doing our own show. And so it's like, are they too green for this right now? It was like, cause I mean, they're professionals, but I'm just like, so they just kind of said, yeah, we're going to do our own show and we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want. And it was like, it's kind of baller, but it's just like,
yeah,
I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I wonder how well it's going to be received.
Taylor, besides if just, this podcast raised $11 million on Kickstarter, and we're just like, here, make a thing. It would be terrible, but I wouldn't care.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course you don't care, but then if it's like,
rich.
We'd all be hung.
Huh? Yeah. I will say the interesting thing is this entire Critical Role Legend of Vox Machina started out as a podcast. It was 2 of the guys that are now playing. They were you know, adults with kids, and they couldn't hang out anymore. And they were just like, we need to do something as an excuse to hang out. So they had a podcast together called All Work, No Play. And they were like, we need to give ourselves basically assignments to do something for the podcast so we can excuse to hang out together. And one of the things was, it was one of the guy's birthdays, and he was like, I want to play Dungeons & Dragons. I haven't played it in years, and the other guy had never played it before. So they got together with some other people, and the one guy, Matt Mercer, that they knew was a Dungeon Master, and they played once. And then he emailed him. He was like, guys, should we play again? And it became a once-a-month thing with a bunch of their other voice actor friends, and that's basically what it spun out of.
Yeah.
Well, they've really become the face of Dungeons & Dragons, which I wouldn't call it a movement, but I would say it's been a big groundswell of support for D&D.
Yeah. And so that's kind of my philosophical questions in this, because it's like I relate it to the MST3K thing, and there's kind of the... You know, it's a chicken and the egg kind of question there of they raised all this money. And it was a great series on Netflix. It's been canceled since then for whatever reason. But it set all these records. And I'm thinking it's like, did that show grow new followers to MST, or did it just organize and coalesce the people that were already fans?
Well, that's what I was getting at. It's just like, they're getting $11 million, but it's like, But then what's going to mean you're, if you're not branching out and getting more people, then you spend $11 million to get canceled after two seasons. And
it was like,
which is fine. It was like, you're getting your money, make your money, boo-boo. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you know, I think that's my question is like, what, I mean, hey, do what you want to do. And if you get more followers, fucking awesome. Yeah. But if you don't, it's like, you know, it just kind of is curious, like how, like Amazon was like, we'll do this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really?
Well, it's like, you know, looking at MST3K, it's like when it was on the air, it was always in danger of being canceled many times. And the fans back then, it was an early internet thing. They staged, it was on AOL or CompuServe or something, this massive campaign to get like signatures, online signatures or whatever, to keep the MST3K on the air on the Comedy Central. And so it staved off cancellation several times. Cancellation.
Yeah.
Yes. Several times by doing that. And so, you know, it's like, is there a big fan base for MST3K, or is it just a small, crazy, dedicated group of diehard fans?
I will say, I feel like Amazon Prime is a tax loophole. Like, they use it to write off, like, so much money so that they can take tax. Because have you ever looked at the interface of Amazon Prime? It is garbage. Yeah. It is, like, the worst thing to navigate with. Like, there's no chance that they're actually trying to compete with Netflix, HBO, and whatever else. Like, I feel like they're just buying IP left and right just so they can be like, oh, yeah, we're a legitimate business.
Yeah.
It's like The Simpsons whenever they put Homer and the two guys down there with the bee.
Yeah.
Like, that's the Amazon. That's the crew that works on that.
Yeah.
It's like, 100%.
I'm supposed to guard the bee.
Like, you could give me, like, a book that's, like, how to do web design, and then I could probably create a better interface than whatever they have with Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure Jeff Bezos created it in a day, and he was just like, all right, that's good.
Yep.
Never going to update this again.
Yeah, write all of it off.
Yep.
So what do you think, Sean?
I went in with relatively low expectations. I mean, my thoughts going into it, I was like, okay, the novelty of a D&D campaign like Critical Role is that you're watching improv. You're watching live people reacting to scenarios that they didn't expect. And I was like, okay, how is that actually going to work when you translate that into a scripted, animated format? Yeah. I didn't think it was going to translate well, but I was surprised. I was thoroughly surprised. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was, I mean, like you said, you know, the first episode, it felt like they were trying a little bit too hard. And once they kind of settled in their groove, I think they set the groundwork for what could be really good. Need to see what else they can do with it. But, you know, I could nitpick and, you know, complain about certain things, but I thought it was fun. It was
entertaining.
It was a romp. We were talking about beforehand. It's like, if you give me a show that's 30 minute episodes or shorter, I am locked in.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, it's so much easier to commit to that and watching an episode than, you know, a 42, 45 minute long episode of something. I don't know why, because we all probably have ADHD from staring at our phones every day, but they made it in a format that's easily digestible, and it's colorful and fun, and it kind of keeps my attention. So I liked it.
What were your nitpicks? What was the,
I think the voice actress who does Vex, is that her name?
Laura Bailey.
She has a terrible British accent. She's from Mississippi, for the record. I had to look it up because I was like, this woman is not British. She is from Mississippi.
And so, I thought she was going for like a transatlantic kind of a thing. Like, you know, Catherine Hepburn, like British, you know.
Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of an in-between.
No, she is.
I couldn't place it, but.
The accent is Mississippian,
By way of Leeds.
I was going to leave that
Mississippi
one alone.
Commonwealth? But, yeah.
I think she did the voice for Trunks in Dragon Ball Z, like young Trunks, I think. And she, because I guess there was a pretty big voiceover thing in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know.
I will take a pause here to brag about the fact that one time my sister, who is a comic book artist, was tabled next to the voice actor for Android 17 at another con, had him call me in character one morning at like 9 a.m. And I was like, hello? And he was like, Sean, this is Android 17. I was like, oh my God.
Is that one of the twins? The like the brunette twin? Or is that like the
The Android, the robot twin.
Okay.
With the black hair. His sister is blonde, for the record.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Well, yeah, there. David Tennant was a voice on this because he was also.
There were a lot Scanlan, of good actors.
The voice of Scanlan, who is Sam Riegel, was, I think, a voice director on the DuckTales reboot, where David Tennant was Scrooge McDuck. Mm-hmm. And so we got David Tennant as General Krieg, who was Brimscythe. The dragon.
Okay with that. Yeah, yeah, that was a good voice.
What I didn't realize, Tony Hale, who was in, oh God, what was the Bluth?
Arrested Development.
Yeah. And yeah. Veep.
Veep.
Yeah, yeah. And Stephanie Beatriz was in it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then Logic, the rapper, he did some voices of palace guards.
I love
Kari Payton was that the sovereign, the king dude. He was Ezekiel in Walking Dead. And Indira Varma was Lady Allura. She was Ilaria Sand in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder how much of that is like, because these people are voice actors,
yes.
Right? How much of that is them just like pulling from their own network and just being like, hey, you want to come do like this side character on my show? Versus how much of it is like, actual like casting and Amazon pulling stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the voice acting world, that's like a day or two of work to go in and record those parts like that.
Well, and they had to record from home with COVID. They had to like, in the middle of that, you know, COVID happened.
We're all so
they had to rip
into
their closet and make their own like studio.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess is how they worked. A lot of the Mandalorian post-production was done by people working from home. The special effects and stuff were done.
I thought those spaceships looked familiar. It's from IKEA.
So, Todd, what did you think?
Sean said it very well. Exactly the same deal. It's like I wondered to my wife out loud of like, the key draw of the Critical Role thing has got to be, and I say this not having played, but from what I understand from you, Travis, and other fans, it's like the spontaneity of it, of... You know, fuck it. Anything can happen. You know, it's like, and it blew Joanna's mind, but it's like they can play and you can have a whole party get wiped out and get killed. You know, some guy could screw up, some guy could have a bad attitude or whatever plan and just like ruin everything for everybody. Or it could go crazy and some guy could like one shot the bad guy, roll the right kind of die. And so that is, I think, is part of the appeal is watching skilled people. You know, in terms of talent and all that kind of stuff, play D&D and do it right. And it's the gameplay well done. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to be necessarily skilled, but it is improv. It's yes and.
Yeah.
But when you're watching it long form, an episode can be 3 to almost damn near 7 hours.
Yeah.
Most campaigns are played over the course of months years. For like 8 hours a week. Like, It's a lengthy process to play D&D because there is so much that goes into it.
But when you're watching a live stream, like not every, thing that they try is going to be, a home run, knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
So what's nice about this is think about it, you already have basically the storyboard. You have all the audio, all the lines that you want. They just have to like cherry pick those moments and basically what happened in the episode and then, just distill it down from there.
Well, in that original first campaign, it was something like 400 hours, right?
Yeah, it was 115 episodes or 100. Yeah.
So boiling that down into a essence of, 10, 30 minute episodes, it's got to be pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
You can pick and choose and find the good best. Quality content there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did have the vibe a little bit of watching a movie or something where I haven't read the books. And like, I feel like if I was sitting next to somebody who'd watched all the campaigns, it'd be like, oh yeah, that's a reference to this and a reference to that.
Yeah.
That scene where he's holding the beer pointing at the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. It's like, I'm missing all the jokes, but so I enjoyed it on a superficial level. I feel like, a fan's going to enjoy it deeper because they've been there the whole way.
That's how I felt talking about Dune with you plebeians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's sometimes how I feel like. Talking about, even like Star Trek or something, with people who haven't necessarily done a deep dive like I have on that show or Star Wars or something where it's like, it's like maybe there's different stuff going on that noobs may not recognize, but.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the cartoon because I can never get any of my friends to like watch a 4-hour like live stream. Like,
you're right. You can't.
That's not exactly something you would like want to sit down and like, hey, correct. Let's watch the shit out of this.
Yeah.
But if I can have it distilled and like, I'm like, okay, this is the essence of what I like about this medium.
Yeah.
Then it's more palatable to have it in like 30 minute chunks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
My question, this is devil's advocate. So are they trying to rope new fans into D&D? Is that a goal of the...
Basically, so the fact that they had Critical Role out there, if people had never played Dungeons & Dragons before and they had heard about Critical Role, they were like, what the fuck is this? You can watch the episodes for free on YouTube of the streams and watch it at whatever speed you want or whatever increments you want. But people, like, I had never played the fifth edition of Dungeons & Dragons, and I had started this, and I was, you know, had the app on my phone I would kind of try and follow along with. I'm like, what? So I kind of learned to play this new edition from watching the show before I played it with a group. But then they had their own different homebrew rules, so I, you know, I didn't know 100% about it. But I got enough of it just to be able to play the new version. But, yeah, it fifth edition has just gone through the roof in popularity-wise.
Yeah, and Matt Mercer has really become the face of Dungeons & Dragons, whether he likes it or not. I mean, he's become sort of the iconic dungeon master, you know, icon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's worked actually with Dungeons & Dragons and developed his own books for them and helped write on the actual one. So he's... Nerd. That's... Yeah, it's the nerd's wet dream of, like, you play your home game. It gets popular enough, you're like, I think I could write a book about this, or I think other people would play.
Would you say he's the Tom Brady of Dungeons & Dragons?
Is he the GOAT? I don't
understand. Greatest of all time?
What?
Oh. Greatest of all time?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. I'm glad they had to come in there.
Yeah. Sportings. Lastly, before we wrap it up. The music on this was badass too.
Yeah.
That's Neil Acree, but like I really liked all of the at the end when they're going off to kill the dragon after they bust out that illusion thing. Just the they kind of rock it up. There's a little guitar in there, electric guitar, and they it's not a historical setting. It's not it's a modern fantasy story basically. Yeah.
Well, and we talked about this. A little bit before the pod is we were talking about the animation studio. So Titmouse is the animation studio.
Titmouse.
It's a little bird at the end that says chirp. They also animated Brennan Small's Metalocalypse, which was another very adult, violent cartoon. And I did see a little bit of influence in there artistically, like where they freaking split the dragon in half. Spoilers, and then you just see like the face just sort of lying there. That reminded me a lot of like Metalocalypse, which is very, very violent and gory. But I think the animation style is pretty cool.
It's close to Invincible, you were saying, from Amazon. Mm-hmm. So Tay was asking if it was essentially anime, and I was like, well, it's anime inspired, would say.
It's not anime.
But it's, no?
Okay. No, well, anime is specifically from Japan. That's like a category. It's a cartoon. I mean, it's anime just as much as like... Clone Wars would be anime, in that it's not.
Oh,
but all
fuck you, Taylor, how dare you?
I mean, animation is all draws from itself. Like, I would say most modern animators today probably got their start looking at anime and drawing from that.
Yeah, it's like how all modern rock music derives from the Beatles, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah,
yeah,
which derived their music from black people.
There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
And February. Black History Month.
There we go.
Yeah. We brought it back around.
Nailed it.
Also, how cool was Silas Briarwood in the end of episode 2 and in episode 3? Mm-hmm. Fucking vampire. Strong, fast as shit.
He was a vampire? Mm-hmm.
I like vampires.
Yeah. Now, this is definitely Travis's wheelhouse.
Yeah, I love it.
Just everything.
Why didn't you tell
Twilight,
us?
Twilight. Queen of the Damned.
Oif.
Interview with a Vampire.
Aaliyah was in Queen of the Damned, right?
May she rest in peace.
Am I thinking Vampire in Brooklyn?
No, it was
Aaliyah.
The one you just said before that.
Oh, Eddie Murphy, Vampire in Brooklyn.
No, but Aaliyah was in Queen of the Damned.
Queen of the Damned.
May she rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, there we go. This has been another mini episode of Cinema Vino. And we thank you all very much. Looking at Vox Machina, Legend of, on Amazon, Amazon Prime. And we're going to come back next, talk about a little Book of Boba Fett. We're going to condense episodes 4 and 5.
Well, real quick, do you want to talk about how we're going to do the rest of Vox Machina?
So we're going to do it's 6 episodes, right?
It's dropping. Yeah, it's 12 episodes dropping in 3 episode chunks.
Yeah, so we'll just do 3 more episodes, just doing 3 episodes at a time on our podcast.
Yeah, cool. Sounds like a plan.
Dope.
And for the month of February, we're going to do date movies and champagnes that go with them, so... And these are going to be user chosen. I think there's one in there that we chose, but primarily user chosen movies. So fan choice.
Nice.
Yeah.
You make the call.
Exactly.
Hey.
Love you, Ruben.
So we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com. If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CINEMAVINO. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget, that's CINEMAVINO to get your first month free.